is never broken.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, if you really want to do Advent right, there's an important idea that really needs to sink in deep in all of us this season. And it's this, that we need Jesus desperately in our lives, in our homes, and in the world. We are totally helpless, and we are utterly lost without him. And the problem is that way of thinking doesn't come naturally to us. As a way of introduction here, I want you to recall that ancient Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. We've been singing it for our midweek Advent services. Remember how it goes. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Again, in order for Advent to really make sense and for Christmas joy to be full, it's high time we take those words really seriously. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. It's an idea we need to think about. What it means that we Christians consider ourselves exiles and captives. How should we think about that? Well, in the ancient world and in parts of the world, even today, it was common to be taken captive, to be enslaved, or taken away from home as an exile. That is really the sort of space and understanding we Christians all ought to have during the season of Advent. To think of ourselves in just that way, as captives or as exiles in a foreign land. It's also been a big theme in our Exodus Bible study this year that we're in right now, because there's no middle ground there. Either one is in bondage in captivity to Pharaoh, or one has been let out in an exodus and is now a captive to the Lord and in service to Christ and his kingdom. But being transferred from one kingdom to the other kingdom sure isn't your work. That's the Lord's. So when Pharaoh and all of his armies are pouring down on the Israelites near the Red Sea, it's not fight for your lives, but instead it's don't be afraid. The Lord, he will fight for you and free you. And you only need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There is an ancient heresy in the church called Pelagianism. It's this very pernicious idea that, given just the right circumstances and the right moral reform and the right political maneuverings, we can save ourselves, or at least contribute toward our salvation. Now, we're Lutheran, so on face value, we think that all sounds preposterous. Faith alone, grace alone, of course, we all know that. But then, by nature, we'll turn around to and we'll think something along the lines of, you know I'm not perfect, but you know, by and large, I've got control of things. My situation isn't really that bad. I can manage this. But you know what? That's actually a Pelagian way of thinking. It is a deeply anti-Christian attitude that's downright dangerous to the life of faith. I dare you to just have one good look at that confessional mirror, that trifold insert in your bulletin today. And that will walk you through your situation to examine your life in light of the Ten Commandments. That's the life that God has required from you, but you haven't given it. Those commandments will show you your real situation, your spiritual captivity, your enslavement, your inability to do anything about it, and it will show you your desperate need for your Savior. So you see, if we want to understand biblical Christianity, the hope of Advent and the joy of Christmas, this is the reality we've all got to embrace. To take sin again seriously. O come, Emmanuel, ransom your captive Israel. That is a confession that whatever predicament we're in, with sin, the state of the world all around us, the fallout of living in a fallen age, we cannot save ourselves. No amount of reform, no political solution, no economic turn will do. And so there's nothing left to do but cry out, Lord, help me. Kyrie eleison. Lord, come quickly to your people and rescue them. Because that's what Christianity really is. It's a rescue mission from on high for captive Israel, for exiles, for spiritual prisoners. And that's what leads us to John the Baptist this morning in prison. As a captive, his situation should speak to ours as well. There he is in prison as a captive, and he needs help. He needs more than a political solution or moral reform or a motivational speech. This guy needs a savior, a rescue mission. And from his prison cell, he sends a message by his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In other words, are you the savior of the world, the promised one, or should we keep on looking? And Jesus sends them right back to John with these words, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus sends them back with the promises of Isaiah which are being fulfilled in his hearing. Because the new creation, God's salvific saving work in Christ, is breaking into this world to set us all free. That's John and you, all of us. And this is all a very non-Pelagian message, because no one here is saving themselves. The blind are seeing, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised up, and that's the work of God alone. John the Baptist, he knew the prophet Isaiah, he knew the prophecies about liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. And he was, I'm sure, thinking about himself. But what John was learning here was that the freedom and liberty Christ was winning for him was a freedom far greater than anything he had imagined. It was freedom over sin and corruption. It was liberty from death and hell and the corruption caused by sin. Those promises sent back to John was no motivational speech about a more fulfilled life or a self-help message. John was comforted in the promise of the gospel, the promise of the resurrection of the body and new life, life everlasting. Christ sent back a word to John's jail cell that the dead are being raised up. And that was comfort that John needed. Because pretty soon, Herod's henchmen would aim a cold steel blade against John's neck. He would face his own executioners with the words of Jesus upon his ears. The dead are raised up, Jesus had told him. And I like to think of John in his jail cell as whispering those words, the dead are raised up, in that final moment as his life flashed before his eyes. And his, he was transferred to the kingdom of the Father. John the Baptist trusted in the promise of the resurrection, the promise God gave to Abraham that God would provide the sacrifice to set us free, to win for us the very best kind of freedom, freedom from the captivity of sin and hell and the joy of eternal life. John is therefore a wonderful example and model of perseverance in faith despite suffering. There's often a debate about whether John was doubting or struggling in his faith or whether he was just asking on behalf of his disciples. Are you the one who is to come? But John was also flesh and blood like us. He was a man. He was facing death, and he and all Christians benefit always from reassurance. We all benefit from hearing the words of Jesus again and again, and boy, do we need it. This morning, I just want you to think about whatever holds you captive this season. Various addictions, frailties of the flesh, broken relationships, new trials or struggles in your life, or sadness and depression. Because the world can squeeze us in and make us feel like captives. And in truth, that's what we are. But the greater truth is that in Christ, God is setting us free. The opening words of the rite of holy baptism put it best. This is what the pastor says every time anyone's baptized here in this church. The Word of God teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he did it by dying for us on the cross. Paul writes to the Ephesians that when Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he led captivity captive. That's what Paul says. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Gifts just like your baptism. Gifts like holy absolution and his holy supper. Gifts to strengthen you, to trust in him, to rely upon him, and to trust in him always. Dear Christians, whatever trials you're facing this season, I want you to face them with the confidence that God alone has the power to save. He has ransomed captives. He has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his dear Son, where there is joy and light. God's richest blessings to all of you this Christmas. As you peer into those stable doors once again and behold the world's salvation, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, your Lord and your God. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.